This is the Last Week in English podcast, summer semester 2019, week 5, with me, Mark Jacob, at the TU Berg Academy Freiberg. Our guest today is British, but has made her home here in Freiburg. She studied mathematics in Glasgow and Oxford, and is now a professional musician. She also regularly gives me her piles of the New Scientist magazine, which many of the students know from our lessons. So, welcome, Nina Trabichoff.
Thank you.
Before we go on to talk about what you're doing now, what you're doing here in Freiburg, could you tell us a bit about your background?
Yes. I was brought up in Scotland. My dad is a musician, and I played the violin and viola from a young age, playing in orchestras and, yes, enjoying that. And I studied maths at university because my father said, you don't need to study music to do music. So I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I just chose maths because I enjoyed it. And worked for a bit in a whiskey distillery. And then decided that that was not the career path I wanted to do. And I studied music privately, studied the viola, and eventually got a job here in Freiburg. Yay!
Okay. When you studied mathematics, one of the questions actually the students asked was that how did you manage to keep up your passion for music while you were studying mathematics?
It didn't appear to be that difficult.
How did you have time for music?
You make time. Because you enjoy it, you need time off. And one of the orchestras I was involved in was an amateur orchestra. We met on a Tuesday or Thursday evening once a week and just rehearsed for, I think we had 3 concerts a year. You make time for what you enjoy. You can't study all the time. That would just drive you bonkers.
Okay. Yeah, some of our students are also musicians. We have an orchestra here and at the university.
Yeah, and I was involved in the university orchestra as well. You enjoy it, and it's your time off. It's completely different, well, sort of completely different from maths.
So yeah. And are you as passionate about maths as you are about music?
That's a good question. I think I probably used to be, and I'm not anymore. I haven't done it for the last 20 years. So it's still interesting, and this is why I get New Scientist, because I like keeping up to date on the latest maths or astrophysics stuff, quantum stuff I'm also interested in, because I studied that as well. I'm passionate enough to want to keep up to date with it, read English regularly, because that's also a thing. And that's probably slightly more passionate about music at the moment. But still,
Because the students also found that connection very interesting between maths and music. Have you thought about that at all in the past, these connections between maths and music?
Only insofar that there is a connection. All the algebra and calculus and all the stuff you do actually study is not really relevant. I studied more pure maths, which is really not relevant. There are bits of maths that I'm sure is relevant to music. Sort of studied that a little bit. But is it useful for me and in my everyday musical life? Not really.
No.
No. Only insofar as that we get, if we play like modern music and it's difficult to figure out where you should play, where the beats should be, then that's the only time that it really comes in useful.
Yeah. So do you regret doing mathematics?
I do not. No. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I loved maths in school. I loved maths at university. I made some good friends. And Glasgow University is great. Glasgow's a great town, great city. It's a city. It's got a really good university. It's got a very good reputation. It's a beautiful building.
Yeah.
Yes, the weather is leaves something to be desired, but right. You know they can't do anything about that. So, and I made some really good friends that I'm still in contact with today, and I totally don't regret it. Because right. I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I went with my gut that said, do something you enjoy, do
yeah.
maths. And so, yeah. And mm-hmm. it led me here,
yeah.
you know, in some circuitous way. And I don't regret being here.
Yeah.
So I don't regret anything that's been on the journey.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Mm. But you had the support of your parents then to do something that you enjoyed doing. So
yes. Yeah, I've always had my parents' support. They've always been very supportive and yeah, in everything. Yes, I have wonderful parents.
Yeah. That's great to hear. Because you're actually in Glasgow because your father worked there, is that right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. I was born in Germany because he had a job here at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we moved then back to London and he got a job in Glasgow with the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, and I moved up there.
How old were you?
I was four, so I had the whole school experience in Glasgow.
Yeah.
and yeah, it was great. It really is a great city to live in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, one of my students said, yeah, she went to Edinburgh and Glasgow, but she preferred Edinburgh. Because it looked prettier.
Yes, I can sort of understand that. I mean, Edinburgh it's on, I think, seven hills.
Yeah.
So it looks lovely.
Yeah.
It winds you when you walk around the city.
Yeah.
And it is windy. But I mean, it's a beautiful city.
Yeah.
And it is the capital, but it has less people, I think.
Yeah.
Fewer people than Glasgow. Glasgow's pretty flat. But it's also lovely in its own way.
Yeah.
But it's on the wrong side of the country for weather-wise.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, both. But both are sort of
yeah.
too much north for decent weather. But
yeah.
I mean, they're both lovely cities. They're,
yeah.
They are very different, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And people of Glasgow, because they have a bit of a reputation for being quite tough. Is that what you found? Or?
Yes. Sweeping generalisation.
Yeah, sorry, don't
I'm
hit
sure.
me for saying that.
No, I think, I mean, my parents are English, and so
yeah.
I wasn't brought up in that way. I'm sure there are parts of Glasgow that are like that. I wasn't brought up in that area. I wasn't
yeah.
brought up like that. I don't actually know any people like that.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, the school I went to, it was a very good school, university as well, very good. I met like-minded people. There weren't people like that
right.
there. I find Glaswegians, Scots in general, very open and friendly,
yeah.
to be quite honest.
Yeah, that's what I've heard from German people
yeah.
who've been
yeah.
to Scotland.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is true.
Yeah, and is there anything else about Scotland apart from the friendly people and the nice cities? Then
no, I mean it's well the countryside.
The countryside,
the countryside.
Right?
I mean,
right.
It's a beautiful country. I haven't seen that much of it, but I mean up north in the Outer Hebrides, Inner Hebrides.
Yeah.
I've been to Orkney.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
It really is. It's just a shame about the weather.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lovely country. I would recommend. That people visit,
yeah,
but only in summer, and possibly you get a bit of sun.
Well, I have to say that I went to Edinburgh in summer, in the 80s it was,
right.
back in the day, and we stayed on a caravan, or in a caravan park, with static caravans,
right.
And it was a mud bath, I have to say.
yes,
in July.
Yep. Sometimes it's like that. It's completely unpredictable. This is a problem with weather in Britain as a whole. It's
yeah.
not just Scotland. It is Britain as a whole.
Yeah, yeah.
It's completely unpredictable and, yep, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. And do you have a lot of family in Scotland now then?
I have no family in Scotland. I've just got friends,
mm-hmm.
Whom I haven't visited in quite a number of years.
Yeah.
Most of my family is in London.
Yeah.
Some slightly further afield, in Britain.
Yeah.
Some distant relatives in Israel.
Yeah.
My parents are in America.
Yeah.
So visiting everybody, I don't really get a chance to get up to Scotland that much
right.
anymore.
Yeah.
But thank God for WhatsApp and Skype and
yeah.
and that kind of thing. You can keep in touch with people much easier.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for that because I don't get up to Scotland
yeah.
that often at all. I went up to Edinburgh for a couple of days, a couple of summers ago.
Yeah.
And it was bloody windy and cold.
Yeah.
But yeah, it generally, I don't get back there as often as I'd like, but yeah.
But it certainly hasn't affected your accent because you still have a Scottish accent.
I do. My accent was never that strong.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know if it's become slightly less strong.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I'm talking to Scottish people, especially, possibly also English people,
right,
it tends to get stronger.
Yeah.
And it possibly, when I'm talking to German people in English, I sort of smooth it out a wee bit.
Yeah.
Unintentionally.
Yeah.
But whether it actually has got
weaker
over the years, I don't know. My English language skills have got weaker. That I know.
Okay.
I forget words and can't think of words, and sometimes the German word comes easier than the, or quicker than the English word, which
yeah.
is annoying.
Yeah.
But I've been here 12 years, so
yeah.
that's just, yeah, that's the way it is.
And do Germans have any difficulty understanding your accent?
In German or in English?
When you're speaking English.
Well, it depends. I think if people speak English and understand me, then I don't think they have a problem
right.
with the accent. Yeah, I mean, if you don't, it's not a strong enough accent that people
no.
have problems with, I don't think.
And you studied your first degree, for your first degree, in Glasgow.
Yes.
And then afterwards you decided to do a master's in Oxford. And one question the students had was, why did you go to Oxford? Why didn't you stay in Scotland?
Well, for Glasgow, it was a general mathematics degree.
Mm-hmm.
I then still didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted
mm-hmm.
to... I was more interested... Well, hang on. Let's start at the beginning.
Yeah.
What I actually wanted to do when I studied, when I applied to Glasgow, was astronomy and maths.
Mm-hmm.
And then I quickly discovered that astronomy meant staying up at night in the cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that just wasn't for me. That's why I went for the maths
yeah.
Degree. but I still find the quantum aspect and the astronomical aspect
yeah.
of that really interesting. And that's why I went to Oxford, because they were the only one of the few places, I don't remember where other places were, Glasgow was definitely not one of them, that offered a master's, a 1 year's master's in what I studied, geometry, mathematical physics and analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So the mathematical physics was the bit that I was interested in, the
yeah.
astronomy and the quantum side of it.
Yeah.
And that's why I went to Oxford.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, and it was fun. But afterwards, it was clear to me that my brain had reached its maximum, and that was
okay.
that was enough.
Yeah. Another question students had was, is Oxford as special as we think, as the cliché?
It's a difficult question to answer, because I think if you come from Britain, Oxford's just another university town.
Yeah.
For people coming from abroad, I think it's a very different system with the colleges.
Yeah.
And the tutoring thing, I think it is quite different. But for me, it was just a different place to be. It was my first time living somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I lived on campus.
Yeah.
And it was it was fun meeting new people from, I mean, I think a lot of my friends in Glasgow were from Glasgow.
Yeah.
That's one of the things with Scottish universities, people from Scotland tend to stay in Scotland.
Right.
But in Oxford, there were a lot of people from different places.
Yeah.
There were a couple of South Africans, a German, a few Asian people, a Dutch guy, whole mix of people.
Yeah.
And from that point of view, it's very interesting. Oxford is also a really beautiful town.
Right.
And it was fun. It was a fun year.
Yeah.
I would recommend it.
Which college were you at?
Trinity.
Trinity.
Yes.
And can you tell us a little bit about that college?
About that college? We allegedly have a huge rivalry with Balliol, which is next door. But basically, I chose Trinity because it's in the centre of Oxford.
Yeah.
And it's bang in the centre, and it was just really useful. Trinity is a beautiful college. I think all colleges are probably beautiful, but Trinity is one of the ones that ends up on postcards quite a lot.
Right.
And it was, yeah, I've been back there, I think, one time since. Mm-hmm. And you get this, you know, alumni card, and you can go back whenever you like. And
yeah.
I still get sort of email updates from them. But what's it like? It's like a normal sort of college bit of the university. So where, you know, you have sort of, yeah, you have your own private room.
Yeah.
There's a canteen restaurant thing. Trinity has good food.
Yeah.
In relation to other colleges, allegedly. Beer cellar.
Yeah.
Chapel. It's been renovated recently.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, staff, students. So it's a little enclosed world.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the common room. There are three common rooms.
Mm.
A junior common room for the undergrads.
Yeah.
Middle common room for us.
Yeah.
And senior common room for the tutors and lecturers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, yeah, it's a nice little community.
Yeah.
But I think all colleges would be the same.
Yeah.
I think.
And I'm going back to just before Oxford at Glasgow.
Yeah.
We had the question, it wasn't really related to the university, I have to say, but the question was simply Celtic or Rangers?
Right, I had to choose this in school, mm-hmm. and I chose it because blue was my favourite colour,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to green, so I went for Rangers. I didn't really care at that time. Mm-hmm. I got into football briefly.
Yeah.
At university age, and then dropped it again afterwards.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was my brief stint with football.
Yeah. Okay, so you did your master's at Oxford, and then you said you worked in a distillery, is that correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I still didn't know what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. so I was with an agency that placed me with the Edrington Group, which is a whiskey distillery. I worked at the bottling plant,
mm-hmm.
But we owned distilleries like the Famous Grouse and Macallan, Cutty Sark,
mm-hmm.
and a number of others,
mm-hmm.
And we bottled in Glasgow, so it was a bottling plant with loud, noisy lines, and I was in charge of getting bottles in for the bottling process.
Okay.
It was fun. It was interesting for a while. But it occurred to me at some point down the line that it was not the job that I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So, yeah, and that's when I decided that I think music was the way to go.
Yeah.
And therefore I started privately getting lessons with people and mm-hmm. and going down the music road. I didn't want to go to university again and study music. That was just...
Right.
That's how I did it. And it took me a while, but eventually I got a job in Kaiserslautern.
Mm-hmm.
First a temporary job, and then a permanent job here in Freiburg.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what... What brought you to Germany then in particular? I mean, I guess you could have got a job around the world somewhere.
Yes and no. Germany is a good place for orchestras because there are still so many orchestras. I mean, every little town has an orchestra. And that's a throwback to the good old days,
yeah.
as it were. So in Britain, they have few orchestras, but they're all good. They're all really high standard. In Germany, there are tons and tons of orchestras of different standards. I was well aware that I couldn't, I wasn't of a high enough standard to get into one of the really good orchestras. I was auditioning for a whole lot of smaller orchestras. And got a job. Yes. But the Germany it's the place to be if you're a musician.
Right. In Freiburg I know there are quite a lot of international musicians, let's say.
I think in all orchestras in Germany.
Right.
They're international people, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Is that how long did you spend in Kaiserslautern?
4.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a particularly nice looking city. I mean, it was bombed during the war pretty extensively. and the theatres are sort of modern build, four square, and not particularly interesting or exciting to look at, although it presumably had a good acoustic.
Yeah.
But here it's a lovely little town, and the theatre's old and cute and sweet, and I'm not sorry I ended up here.
And how long have you been here now then in Freiburg?
Since 2011, so 8 years, getting on for 8 years.
Mm-hmm. And you're playing viola, is that right?
Yes.
Not the violin?
Viola.
Yeah.
Viola.
And how did that come about then, that you viola rather than violin?
I started on the violin because my dad was a violinist.
Mm-hmm.
I started with the piano as well, but at age 11 I inherited a viola from my granddad, who played both violin and viola, and I preferred it.
Yeah.
It was as simple as that. Possibly something to do with my personality, that I'm not the sort of I'm not the person who wants to stand up and get the attention, like the first violins, they always play the melody and are like that. But yeah, the viola sort of in the middle of the orchestra plays the harmony is in the thick of it, as it were. And that suits me better, but the viola is a little bit deeper in sound than the violin, and that appeals to me more.
Yeah. And do you find then that in the orchestra here in Freiburg that personalities match instruments?
To a certain extent, not necessarily among the strings. I think the difference is more between the strings and the winds and brass and other people, because the the strings in general, because we are so many and we play basically the same instrument, I think we're more similar than the winds and brass, who are mostly solo instruments. There's just one person to a part, and therefore I think you do have a slightly different personality to a certain extent. This is a sweeping generalization, but to a certain extent I think that's the difference in the orchestra, in probably most orchestras.
Okay. And the orchestra guest I had on, you may have listened to that podcast 2 weeks ago, we had Daniel Freiberg on.
Yeah.
And that was very fascinating to me how he told us how he goes about composing a piece.
Right.
So, and you actually worked with him. Well, or you played his piece. So could you tell us a little bit how that was?
It was really cool, actually.
Yeah.
It's obviously a modern jazz piece.
Yeah.
We did it was a whole jazz concert. Yeah. And he was there basically for the whole week. So we rehearsed on Monday and have concerts on Thursday and Friday. And he was there for the whole week, and we could ask him questions, and he was just there and enthusiastic. He was so nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So enthusiastic and just, you know, willing to go and say this and this and this and... And it was a really nice process. We've never had to my knowledge, I don't think we've ever had a composer there for the whole week, and
yeah.
you could just ask him whatever. You could talk to him because
yeah.
he didn't speak German. He spoke English, and that was fun for me as well, because I don't often get to speak English in
right.
Germany, and so it was just interesting. Yeah, talking to him, getting to know him, and it was just really nice man.
Yeah, yeah, he was a great guest.
Mm.
You mentioned that you don't normally get to speak English. That means you speak German.
I do.
No? Is that, did you learn at school, or did you learn when you got here to Germany?
We did learn in school. We had the choice in school of German, Spanish, or Latin.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose German because I knew, even at that time, that Germany is more useful in a sort of musical context.
Yeah.
So I plumped for German, but God, it was 3 years, I think,
mm-hmm.
of German, 1 hour a week,
mm.
and you just, you know, you don't really learn that much.
Mm.
Did it help? Yeah, it probably provided a sort of groundwork for coming here, but I didn't, before I came here, I didn't learn any other German. So I learned when I came here. I stayed in Kaiserslautern. I stayed in a room in a house with my landlords, and they were both German speakers. They didn't mm-hmm. speak English.
No, okay. So you spoke German with them.
You had to.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to. I mean, there was no other option. I didn't know anybody there.
Yeah.
I didn't know if anybody spoke English, but I wasn't. Well, there were a couple of people who spoke English in the orchestra and could help. Actually, there were a couple of American cellists there who helped me out a bit. But basically, you have to learn German. If you want to be here and live here, you have to learn German. So I did. I watched a lot of TV. I bought a grammar book and a dictionary. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you get on with it.
Okay, so you didn't have any formal lessons here in Germany?
No, I didn't. No. I don't know if that was sensible or not, but in the music world, because it's basically music is a language in itself,
yeah,
and a lot of the musical terms are Italian, and you know that anyway,
yeah.
So I job wise, you learn quickly, and it wasn't a problem job wise. Just, you know, the general German life,
yeah.
That's more of a problem. I mean, it was more of a problem, but I mean, you just, yeah, you knuckle down, you get to it, you learn things, and you make mistakes, and
that's for sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you speak any other languages?
No, just the two.
Just the two. Wow,
just the two. Yes, possibly one more than a lot of British people, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that brings us onto the topic of Britain nicely, and we had the question from some students: what do you think of Brexit?
Yes, well, I think probably for most Brits here, it's a complete disaster.
Mm-hmm.
It's turned into chaos. It's
mm-hmm.
a pig's ear.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what's happening. And whether we will actually leave Europe or not is
mm-hmm.
still up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
No idea.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Scotland should be part of the UK?
Yeah, it's a very difficult question in light of Brexit. I would prefer that Scotland remain a part of the UK and that the UK remain a part of Europe.
Yeah.
But if Britain does actually come out of Europe, then Scotland will probably have a second referendum
mm-hmm.
to, yeah, whether they want to split. And that's a difficult question. I think Scotland would probably vote to stay, well, to get back into Europe. I don't know how difficult that would be.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I'd like us all to remain, you know, in Europe.
Yeah.
But what actually happens is difficult. I don't think I really should have a say in it. I don't live there anymore.
Yeah.
I think most of the people who live there probably have a very definite view on whether they want to stay in the UK, and it does depend, I'm sure, on Brexit and
right.
what happens there.
Because there was a majority in Scotland for staying in Europe.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Scotland, Ireland, Northern Ireland,
mm-hmm.
And London, yes.
Yeah.
Wanted to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Brexit is just a complete mess.
Mm. And have you spoken with anyone back home about that, about Brexit?
Yes, only in the fact that, you know, most people regret the decision.
Yeah.
Most people I know did vote to remain.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 2.5 years on from the referendum, I think most people are just sick and tired of it.
Yeah.
And what actually will happen is anybody's guess.
Yeah.
I would like to think that there would be a second referendum then on Europe.
Yeah.
But then we get back into maths and statistics and whether, because what I originally thought would be, you have a twofold referendum question.
Yeah.
Do you want to stay in Europe, or do you want to go with Theresa May's deal and get out of Europe?
Yeah.
And I thought that would be a simple enough question to pose, and then whichever gets more, you then go
as
down
a referendum.
Road. Yeah, as a referendum, but I was talking to a friend here in Germany, who then said you can't actually do it as just a two-question referendum. You need that third option, which is Brexit with no deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you get into all this mathematics and statistics of, well, what happens when, how do you ask that question? How do you grade it then?
Yeah.
And do you say that whichever gets most, we go with that, even if it's nowhere near 50%,
because
it's not going to be 50%, the country's going to be split.
Yeah.
Because nobody has a clue what's going on and what they really want. And so that would also be a pig's ear, I think. Although in some ways I think a referendum would be a good idea. I just don't know which question you would have to ask. I don't know how you'd phrase it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you'd sort of grade the answer
that
you get.
Basically, we're in a mess and it's difficult to get out of it.
I think it is. I think it's incredibly difficult to get out of it. How do you find to get out of it? What does get out of it mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, no one's going to be happy.
Yes. I think half the country is going to be very unhappy. But, yeah, it's odd because this referendum technically has no legal standing.
Yeah.
But Theresa May is bent on carrying it out.
Yeah.
But then again, she might not stay in power for the whole thing. Oh god, it's, nobody knows what's happening.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. I think Europe's getting quite annoyed with us.
Yeah.
but we've got another 6 months, 5 months now.
Yeah.
To try and decide something. We're gonna have European elections. That's not gonna go down well, I think. But I don't think we're going to be any closer to any result come Halloween.
Yeah.
Do you?
Let's see. Well, I don't know. I'm asked about Brexit all the time, and in the end, I always have to say, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going to happen.
No. I don't think anybody has a clue.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the problem. I think government should have a clue.
Yeah.
I think Theresa May should have a clue. I don't think anybody has a clue.
Yeah.
Disaster!
And does it affect you personally?
only in the fact that I have become a German citizen.
Right.
It was completely unclear what was going to happen after Brexit.
Yeah.
And I hummed and hawed about it a lot, because I didn't want to give up my British citizenship. Mm-hmm. That was very important to me. But in the end, I wanted to stay here, and that drove me to apply for German citizenship. I had been here the requisite number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. But in the course of doing that, I learned, thankfully, that I can keep my British citizenship even after Brexit, should it occur.
Yeah.
I now have dual nationality.
Mm-hmm.
It's a means to an end.
Was it difficult to get the German citizenship?
No, it just takes time and a bit of effort and a bit of money. So there was a Sprachtest, and an Einbürgerungstest, both of which have to be scheduled well in advance.
Yeah.
And yeah, you learn a bit for the Einbürgerungstest and the Sprachtest. You assume you should be able to get by. Yeah, and I did, and you pay a bit of money, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I discovered that there is going to be an Einbürgerungsfest for me this year. I mean, not only for me, presumably for random other Britons in Saxony who have become German.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
But there you go. Yay.
Yeah. And if you become German, does that mean that you're planning on staying here?
Yes.
In Freiburg?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's where my job is, it's where my home is, mm-hmm. where my friends are, some mm-hmm. of my friends are.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Another question we had from the students was, what kind of music do you listen to?
I listen to all sorts of music. I listen to sort of rock and pop music, I listen to classical music. I like jazz, but I don't have that much in the way of CDs and
mm-hmm.
jazz music. I'm Jewish, so I listen to klezmer music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and actually my favourite CD of all time, it was a tape until fairly recently when I got it converted, is music from an Israeli band
mm-hmm.
That I didn't know the name of. It's all the tape front was all in Hebrew.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who this band was. I have no idea of getting more of the music.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I still don't know where the tape came from.
Yeah.
Last February I went to Israel for the first time.
Yeah.
Stayed with family and heard one of the pieces on the radio.
Yeah.
And I asked my cousin, I know this piece, who's it by? And she gave me the name of the band, and now I have the name of the band, and I can look them up on the internet. It's very exciting.
Okay. Is that klezmer or is that something else?
No, it's not klezmer, it's just Israeli music.
Yeah.
Israeli pop music.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's yay. So I now have the name of the band, which is cool. Yeah.
And what about for playing? What kind of music do you really enjoy playing?
I enjoy playing most music.
Mm-hmm.
I think Baroque, not so much. Classical, Romantic, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Modern, it depends.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like the modern jazz music that we've mm-hmm. just done, that mm-hmm. was fun.
Yeah.
That was good. But like modern sort of atonal music is not really my thing. It's gonna, sound good, as far as I'm concerned.
As well as playing in the orchestra, you also play in a string quartet.
Yes.
And how does that differ from playing in the orchestra?
It's completely different because in an orchestra you are, there is a conductor mm-hmm. and it's what he says goes.
Yeah.
So he is, yes, you have to do what you're told.
Yeah.
In a quartet, it's much more of a democracy. You can, mm-hmm. For a start, you get to choose your own music.
Yeah.
The music that you play at the next concert. And it's much more as if what's the word? Good grief. Can't think of the word. Good grief.
Much more of
a collaboration. There you go.
It's much more of a collaboration.
So it's much more of a collaboration between friends and colleagues, basically. And it's a lot of fun. We meet fairly often
mm-hmm.
And rehearse and generally at somebody's house, so then we have sort of lunch or
mm-hmm.
food.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes bring my world famous chocolate brownies.
Mm.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that playing in an orchestra is not fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different kind of fun.
Yeah.
So.
And talking of food, We had the question, what is your favourite German food? Do you have a favourite German food? What do you like eating here in Freiburg?
I don't think I have a favourite German food.
Mm-hmm.
It's different and it's fine, but it's not my favourite food. My favourite food is probably Chinese food, but that's British Chinese food.
Okay.
Or American Chinese food,
mm-hmm.
Which is completely different from the Asian food you find here.
Yeah.
Especially here in Freiburg.
Yeah.
So when I go back to Britain or to America where my parents are,
mm-hmm.
I always schedule Chinese food because that's very important to me. yeah. And I miss certain British things, British foods, but yes, thank goodness there is this British corner shop that sends you, or well, will send you fabulous British food. So I do that occasionally. I order some British food that I miss online.
Okay, so you don't miss out on that now because you've got...
Right, yes. I'm very grateful for the British corner shop.
So what about haggis then? Do you get haggis sent over?
I do not.
No.
No. I have had haggis once or twice. I went to a couple of Burns dinners.
Yeah. A Burns dinner?
Burns dinner for Robert Burns.
Mm-hmm. And when is that at a particular time of year?
It is. I'm not sure I could tell you accurately anymore. I think it's the end of January.
Right.
Yeah. Rabbi Burns Day. Yeah, so I went to a couple with some friends when I was in university and had the traditional haggis and neeps. And it's good. Haggis tastes good. It really does. But if it tastes
so good, then why did you only have it a couple of times?
Yeah, because it's not the sort of thing that I was... It's not the sort of thing I miss.
Yeah.
You know, it was good and it was fine, but I can live without it.
Yeah. And to drink then, what about whiskey? Because you worked at a distillery.
I did. I do not drink whiskey. It's... no. Not my thing. But I mean, to work there, it was a lot of fun to work there.
Yeah.
It was completely different.
Yeah. But you didn't get to drink the whiskey.
We got free samples of whiskey or other things from the shop. So I got a rucksack and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Instead of the traditional whiskey. But I do have a few bottles of whiskey on my shelf, but they're sitting there and gathering dust and looking pretty rather than rather than actually being drunk.
Yeah. Maybe I can put you in contact with some whiskey specialists here in Freiburg. I've met some, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Our web administrator at the university is a connoisseur of whiskey.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
So.
Okay.
I want to thank you, Nina, for telling us all about your background, about your studies, and about your life here in Freiburg. And congratulations on becoming German.
Thank you very much.
I'm saying that personally because I also became German myself.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to coming to the theatre then and listening to some more performances of yours.
Great.
Yeah. Okay, so thanks a lot. Take care.
Thank you very much.